This morning we're going to get in this morning,
and it's great to allow the presence of the Lord to be here as we worship Him together. And this morning I want to encourage you to grab your Bibles. We're going to look at a couple of areas. We're going to look at one section in an extended way, but this morning we're going to talk about preparing our heart and seeing what God has for us. And I want to talk about your heart this morning, so go ahead and put your hand on your heart there, and just make sure it's still going. Okay, good. Got that checked off. Now we're not talking about your physical heart, we're talking about your spiritual heart that all of us have as we have an opportunity to let God work in us in a mighty way. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, gives us this example. It says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Lord, we thank you this morning that you have given us not only a physical heart, but you have given us a heart in our soul, and you have given us a heart that connects with your heart. Lord, I pray that our heartbeats would be together, that we would be in unity with your heart, your desire, your longing for us. This morning, as we examine our heart, I pray that you'll help us to see with not just physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes. And that even as you said, let he who has ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And so this morning we ask that you would guide us through your word, guide us in our understanding, and we pray that you would allow your Spirit to break through any fogginess or darkness or veil that exists, and allow our heart to see with understanding and with spiritual wisdom and insight what you want to bring to us today. And so, Lord, we thank you for a spirit of revelation and of the knowledge of Christ, and of the joy of knowing you and the joy of knowing how you can speak to us today. And so, Lord, we are anticipating that through your word, you will speak ever so clearly to us. So may we indeed watch over our heart with all diligence. May we know that from this heart that we are speaking of today flow every issue of life. Every part of our life is touched by what we'll talk about today. And so, Lord, we pray that we would understand the encompassing nature of our spiritual life in Christ, and the joy that we have in serving you each and every day. We thank you in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, the physical heart, of course, gives us the insight to the Scripture. We know that we have a heart that takes that blood and it pumps it, and it goes to every part of our body. And what happens when circulation is cut off to a part of your body? Something turns blue, something dies, something falls off. Not good things that happen, right? But what happens when circulation is there? We take it for granted. We don't even think about this morning the fact that our heart is beating again and again and again and again. That is a miracle of God. It is a miracle of God. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're a miracle of God. I'm amazed you're still alive." Why are some of you laughing? I don't know. But all right. But that's the heart. That's what it does. It beats and it beats and it beats and it beats, and we don't even think about it. But that heartbeat takes that blood and it courses through every part of our physical body. To the smallest of capillaries, it goes to the furthest extent, and every cell is impacted by it. If we understand this today, we'll understand that our spiritual heart operates in the same way. That every part of your life and every part of my life is affected by how we allow God to speak to our hearts. And so there is power in understanding and recognizing this. And there are many areas we could examine today regarding the heart. But today, I want to ask this question. What do we do when God puts a seed of faith in our hearts? What do we do when God puts a seed of faith in our hearts? I don't know if we can go back to that previous slide there and just leave that there for a moment. But that question that's at the bottom of that slide, what do we do when God... I want you to write that down, if you would, please, if you're taking notes. What do we do when God puts a seed of faith in our hearts? And here's the question. Do you believe that God wants to plant something in your heart that will grow? Okay, 17 of you, I think, if I counted accurately. Do you believe this morning that God wants to put something in your heart that will grow? Let's connect with what God is saying this morning. That He gives us an opportunity to receive a word of faith. We're going to look at a scripture on that, so I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 10. What do we do when God puts a seed of faith in our heart? Romans 10, 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and where? In your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. This word of faith that we are preaching, it says in the scripture, is in our heart. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. There is a lot that is there in that passage. We have much in this passage we could look at, but this morning let me simply narrow it down to this focal point. We usually use this scripture as the end of Romans road to say, now this is our commitment, this is what we have to do. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that all are sinners, and that without Christ we have that proposition of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we know then we have a choice. Do we want spiritual death or do we want spiritual life? If we do nothing, we receive that death that comes. But if we accept Christ, there's eternal life. And how do we do that? We usually come to this scripture. But what does it say? Or actually, we use 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart a person believes. And this is not just the emotional heart, because belief is not merely emotional. Everybody say that with me. Belief is not merely emotional. What I mean by that is this, that if we have a belief that is based solely on emotion, then when those emotions start to fade away, or those emotions are affected by something else, that we will begin to lose that belief that we have. It's been said that we face anywhere between 300 to 400 emotional shifts in a day. Probably more than that for some, right? Maybe less than that for a few, you know, but those are different spectrums there in the dysfunctional zone, so we won't even get to that. But for all of us, we know that we experience a great variety of emotions. So if we're only talking about the emotional heart, if we're just talking about emotion, it's not through that we believe. Belief is a function of the full soul, the intellect, the emotion, and the will that grasps a hold of, puts faith in the word that God has given, that life comes through Jesus Christ. We accept the forgiveness of sins that he offered. We put our faith in him as the Lord, the Master, the ruler of our lives. And then through that, we are birthed, we have a new life, and we are new creatures in Christ. Our spirit is made alive in Christ, and now that faith is firmly rooted in our spirit and our soul and allows us to trust in him no matter what the emotions are. And that's why it's important to understand that the heart is bigger than and more encompassing than either the physical or just the emotional. The heart is that wellspring of life. It is that whole sustenance of who we are as a person and what we believe. And so whether it's the logos word or whether it's the rhema word, whatever type of word it is that God gives us, when God puts something in our heart that is from him, we have a responsibility to keep that in our heart and hold on to it. The condition of our heart then is central to our faith. You see that up on the board there. The condition of our heart is central to our faith because the heart is the soil into which this seed is planted. The heart is the soil into which the seed of faith is planted. The word of faith, now let me just say a little parenthetical statement here. This phrase, the word of faith, gets a bad name sometimes in Christian circles. And that's because people take it out of the context of Scripture. And they say the word of faith is, well, if I confess it, it's going to happen. And so I confess a new woman in my life. I confess a new car in my driveway. I confess more money in my bank, you know. And we just start confessing all over the place like God's some sort of genie. But the word of faith is not based upon our will, it's based upon his will. And the word of faith is not some made-up idea or made-up concept or made-up phrase. We are taking this directly from the scripture. Look again at Romans 10, 8 through 10. You'll see that it says the word of faith. So when God speaks something to you, when God relays something to you, when God puts something in your spirit, it is not just a human word or an intellectual concept. It is something that God gives you, and that gift can only be received, understood, held onto, and acted upon by faith. And so the word of faith that God gives to us is powerful, but it has to hit soil that can receive it. The word of faith then will live or die depending upon the condition of that soil into which it's received. Let's look here at Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 9. Jesus speaks of this. He says, when a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. He said, the sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And he said these things. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I have a feeling that by the phrasing that is there in that verse, in verse 8, that Jesus was saying multiple times, "He that has an ear, let him hear." And I think he was saying to those each time as he was saying this, if you have an ear, hear this. If you have an ear, you've got to spiritually hear what I'm saying, Jesus was saying to them. The disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." In other words, if we don't hear beyond the parable, if we don't see beyond spiritually what God is saying, then we won't comprehend. And so I pray that we'll comprehend. So my question for you today is, how's your garden? How's your garden? What you're looking at is a portion of the garden that we planted in Ohio. We would plant this garden. I don't particularly enjoy gardening, but I like to eat. Okay, so you do the math. We had a garden that honestly was probably about the size of this portion of the platform. It was pretty big, maybe a little bit shorter there. If you look at the next picture, it's another section of that garden. And what you'll notice in that is the width of the rows. I want to tell you how wide that is. That's wide enough to put a lawnmower through, because I hate weeding, all right? So, a little helpful tip for you there on gardening. And then another picture there of the garden. And you'll see all of that sprinkler, because of course we had to water the garden and could not just depend upon the rainfall even in the summer months there. So we look at the garden and we look at how Jesus then takes this parable that he spoke and gives meaning to it. Look, if you would please, in Luke chapter 8, verses 11-15, he says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they will not believe and be saved." We had wildlife around that garden, and we had to watch it when we put the seed down. The wildlife didn't come and steal it. We tried sweet corn. The deer ate it all the time, so we had to scrap that. Other things, we had to put things down to scare away rabbits, because the rabbits like to come in there. Something's always trying to take away the seed. Amen? Do you have ears to hear this morning? Something's always trying to take away the seed. We'll get there. Verse 13, "Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away." I made the mistake once of wanting to see how well the plant was doing. So I grabbed the tomato plant and I thought I'd see if the roots were taken. So I lifted it up, lifted it right out of the ground. I'm not a gardener, I'm telling you. I've got a black thumb, all right? Just so you know. But sometimes the lack of root is there. And so we'll talk about that. We'll get there. All right, verse 14. "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and the pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. The first year we weeded the garden, the next year we just ran that lawnmower right through the rows. We made them wide enough to put it through there, because I hate weeding. But you know, in life there are a lot of weeds that creep up. We're going to get there. Verse 15, "But the seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." Now, I want to speak of perseverance by showing you a picture. This is my dear wife Paula, because she was much more persevering than I was. Go ahead and put that up there, guys. She was much more persevering in the garden than I was. And as a result of that, we were able to have... Do we have the picture, Tim? We stuck there? There we go. Thank you. So there she is. You see the size of the garden. But she would go in and take care of it and cultivate it. We didn't. I'd go out there and help her. It took perseverance, because we didn't get a garden until we took care of the seed, which became plants. And we didn't get fruit until we took care of the plants, which became fruit. And we didn't get fruit until we took care of the fruit and brought it to maturity. Do you hear what I'm saying this morning about our spiritual lives? Jesus is bringing this parable to us all the while, thinking of this garden that is there and persevering in the garden. And so I want to look at these. The first condition of our heart to which Jesus refers is when our heart is unguarded. The seeds are unguarded. What is the location? You see the chart? We're going to use this for each of these instances. So if you look up there at location, the seed you see is beside the road. Jesus says that seed fell beside the road. And it was then heard, but taken. The seed that we hear, but it's taken. This morning, you may hear a word of faith. You may hear something that encourages you. I see a couple of you with cameras out. Feel free. Grab your cell phone, take a picture of this if you want to take a picture of the charts, because I'm just going to kind of go through this and paint the picture. But we have word that is taken. It is unguarded. What does this mean? There are two phrases that are used. One says that seed is trampled underfoot. That's why I have the boot. And the other says that it's taken by the birds of the air. Now, let me tell you, spirits do not wear boots. Who wears boots? People wear boots. That's why truck drivers wear boots. Absolutely, I'm hearing you over here. People wear boots. That's why I believe that it is trampled underfoot. This phrase of being used underfoot represents when people come and they trample on the seed that God has given. Have you ever walked out of church and you're just having an awesome day? God's good. He's great. He's wonderful. It's so good. And you get a phone call on the way. It doesn't matter what's said. It just tramples everything you just heard. Or you're there sharing the next day, Monday morning, going to work. Oh, church was so great. And there was this, God spoke to me in the Word of God. He was saying this. Well, you believe that stuff? Boom, boom, boom. Man has a way of trampling underfoot the seed of faith that God gives you. And so if you don't hide it, if it's unguarded, if you don't put that in your heart where God wants you to keep it and store it, it can be trampled. But the interesting piece is also where he says the birds of the air will take it, because people don't fly. This is all news, I know, to some of you. People don't fly, not naturally anyway. So what we have is we have a representation of something in the air coming and snatching away the seed that God has given and taking it away. This speaks to the demonic attack that the enemy brings to snatch away something that God wants to put in your heart. Do you know the enemy is at work? In John 10:10, it says, Jesus has come that you may have life abundantly. But before that, it says the enemy has come like a thief to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what he wants to do with every bit of faith. You are in a spiritual battle, and that spiritual battle must be understood that if you do not hide the Word of God in your heart, you will not have anything to rely upon for your faith. And so this is why that Word that God speaks to you, both the written Word that he gives you, the Logos Word that is made alive, who is Christ Jesus, and the Rhema Word that God gives you in that moment where he speaks to you, where he says something that hits your heart, you have to take that and do something with it so it is neither trampled underfoot by man nor snatched away by the enemy. And what we are called to do there, Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I treasured, or your word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. This is what we have to do with the Word of God. Treasure it, hide it, hold it, protect the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 says, so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises, where? In your hearts. All of this is taking place in that place of our heart. And so when God speaks to us, we cannot leave the seed unguarded to be snatched away. The next location that we see is rocky soil. Jesus tells us that the seed falls on rocky soil, and it represents receiving it with joy. It has no root, it withers, and it falls away. And so this is the unrooted seed of faith. In other words, the roots are not able to grow. Why is that? Well, Jesus, again, gives us the conditions that are taking place around that seed, and he gives us two specific conditions. Number one, it withered. Number two, because there was no moisture. And I want to say something that I hope you will hear with spiritual ears today. Death is preceded by lifeless complacency. Death is preceded by lifeless complacency. Just like the story in the Old Testament of Samson and Delilah. Samson had taken a Nazirite vow. Samson was the strongest man in the world. Samson was a victorious man. And he had basically been told by God, do not cut your hair, because that's a part of your vow. And so Samson was tempted by Delilah, and he would lay there and he would begin to toy with this and say, well, you know, if you do this, then I'll lose my strength. And he'd fall asleep, and they'd do that, and they'd bind him with cords. He'd wake up and snap him off. He just got a little closer and a little closer and a little more dangerous, until one day he made the mistake and he told the secret of his strength, that if you cut my hair, his hair was cut, he was captured, his eyes were gouged out, he was attached to a stone grinding mill and put in a dark dungeon. Death is preceded by lifeless complacency. Church, you and I don't have to be worried when the enemy comes and attacks us, because we can resist. You and I don't have to worry when we go through trials and difficulties, because the Lord will sustain us. The point at which we need to become concerned is the point at which we don't care, the point at which we're complacent, the point at which we are apathetic about our faith in Jesus Christ. It's just another thing, because it's not taking root. And what happens in that moment is apathy and complacency come in. And part of the reason for this, part of the reason why that apathy and complacency comes, is given to us by Jesus. He says there was no moisture, because this plant that is there is depending upon the rain that falls rather than upon extending roots deep into the soil to tap into the reservoir of moisture that is there in that soil. And so what happens is it's dependent upon the word that the preacher preaches. I mean, if this sermon stinks this week and you go home, man, it's been a week since I had a good sermon. Man, I'm just drying up. If you go home and you say, well, I need somebody to encourage me, let me call a friend, and they call them and say, well, they're just not there and available. I'm just drying up. It's because you are not extending roots deep into the soil of God's Word and understanding the truth of God's Word, soaking in the Word, absorbing in the Word, learning the Word, understanding the Word. Your roots must go deep if you want your faith to last long. And so it's up to us individually not to depend upon the rain, but rather to tap into the reservoir. And that reservoir is Jesus Christ himself. He will encourage you. He will empower you. But he will use his word to do that. And this is why it's so important. Yes, we need the rain, but we also need the reservoir. Because reliance upon others to water, rather than having a deep joy and a faith to supply that faith, will allow us to become withered and dry and unrooted. So, what do I want you to see in this? Here's a picture, a backflow preventer. What is a backflow preventer? We have one out front over there. You probably have some as you drive around Cape Coral. You'll see them. Here's a picture of one that's there. We have one back by the fire tanks. What they are supposed to do is that as water comes through them and gets into a place, the backflow preventer prevents bad water from backing up back into the water system and polluting everything else. And that's what it's supposed to do. So I want to give you one more idea that I think is contained here with Scripture. First, look at John 7:38. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the Scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. In other words, you have a reservoir in your heart of living water through your faith in Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. You have that reservoir. You have that faith. You have that confidence. Matthew 13:52, the words of Jesus. Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now, I read this, and I think of the Gatorade commercial from a while back. Is it in you? Athletes are running. All of a sudden, they're sweating blue or green or purple or whatever color the Gatorade is. Anybody remember that commercial? You know what I'm talking about? And so it's in you. And so as you begin to work there and sweat, it comes out. And that's the way the word of faith, the word of life is. When God gives you that, you hold it, you meditate upon it, you think about it, you consider it, and you allow God's word to saturate you so that when you need it, it is there as a reservoir. But there is a problem that comes. And the problem is when that reservoir becomes polluted. Look, if you would, please, in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. It says, after he called to the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him, if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. I have a feeling Jesus was speaking to the crowd and again saying, listen with spiritual ears, not just with human understanding. Verse 17, when he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. He said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Of course, he's speaking of the Jewish law and the precepts that they had and the laws and the regulations that were there. He said, that's not what defiles a man. This was a news flash to those who were used to this system of belief. And they're wondering, then, if that's not what defiles me, what is it that defiles me? And Jesus goes on to explain that. He says, because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and it's eliminated. Thus he declared all foods clean. Verse 20, he was saying that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of where? Look at that. Out of the heart of man proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And so it's important for us to understand this morning that that backflow preventer is what keeps all of that evil of the heart from flowing into our heart. Because believe me, when you start to have a spring of life that flows out into the lives of others, there's going to be a backflow, isn't there? You ever have something or someone starting to pour junk back into your heart? You don't want to pour junk back into your heart. You need to have an effective backflow preventer that says, no, my faith is in the Lord. I'm not going to let anything soil or spoil my heart, my love for the Lord, my devotion to Him. And church, I want to encourage you that if we are unrooted, we will easily have those things poured into us from without rather than containing that reservoir from within. Amen? Are you hearing me this morning? I hope you're looking at that in terms of your own life and saying, well, who is it or what is it that backflows into my life to allow sensuality, greed, pride, selfishness, envy, all of these things. Now, it comes out of the heart of a man. If you look at that top verse, it tells us that the good man brings out of his good treasure is good, and that the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. So it depends on what's in our heart in the first place. And as we look at that, we recognize that God wants to keep us from being defiled by looking at our heart. Amen? So, the next one, unfocused seeds of faith. Where is this? Among the thorns. This is the seed of faith that is planted among the thorns. It is choked by a few things, and we're going to get to those in a moment. And so it is unfocused. Why? Because it's commingled. It's commingled with something else. The thorns, we're told, grow together with this, and they choke it out. In other words, the seed is growing, but so are the thorns. And they become commingled together, and they're growing together, and they become intertwined. And Jesus names what these things are. He says, it is worry, it is riches, and it is pleasures. And so it's choked out by worry. It is choked out by wealth, and it's choked out by our wants. So the three W's get in our way, don't they? Worry, wealth, and wants. And as we'll see here in a moment, we can look at each and every one of those and know that they can come in and choke. But let me look at a big concept here, and you see the for rent sign there. And I want to ask a question right now, in this moment. What is renting space in your heart, mind, and soul? What unwelcome tenant has come into your life? Is there some worry, some anxiety, some fear? Is there a preoccupation with wealth, whether you have it or whether you don't? Is there a concern about doing what you want and finding your pleasure and doing what's pleasing to you? All of us have a big sign that hangs out there sometime, space available. And we'll find renters that want to come in and rent space in our head and rent space in our heart. But let me tell you, if that abode belongs to Jesus, if he abides with us, there's no place for another renter. Jesus doesn't want to share space with your worries. He doesn't want to share space with your wants. He doesn't want to share space with the distortion of wealth that we oftentimes have. He wants us to give everything to him so it's not choked out by these things. Now, we still have future events. We still have finances to deal with. We still have things that we enjoy, and we'll talk about that for a moment. But commingling undoes everything that is there. Commingling will be an undue focus on these areas, and it will choke out our faith. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 say this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then here's what we should focus on. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." In other words, you have seed that I've given you. Take it, receive it, absorb it, hold on to it, live it out, and you will have the peace of God that comes. Now, I want to expand on those three that we say are the thorns that choke us out. So the thorns that choke are worry, wealth, and wants. Now, the irony that I find in these thorns is this. I believe they are usually something good in us that has been distorted. The enemy doesn't have to bring evil things to mess us up. All he has to do is distort the good things. Think about what he did in the Garden of Eden. Man likes to eat. Man likes to spend time together. Man likes to wander the garden. Man sees a fruit. It's the only one. God said, don't eat it. The enemy comes and says, you can eat this. He distorted the truth. He will distort the reality of what God designed. God designed us for these things. And yet, because of this distortion, we become unduly focused on them. Let me give you some examples. First of all, I believe it's a misplaced sense of responsibility that leads to worry. Do you know that people that don't care don't worry? I don't want to pick on anybody, but if you're 45 years old living in your parents' basement and don't have a job, no worries, man. You have a worry that you're in Florida and a basement is not a good idea with a water table. But you don't even care, you know. No worries. Usually people who are highly responsible are tempted to get overly concerned about what's coming. God wants us to be responsible. He wants us to be reliant upon him, but he also wants us to take responsibility, stewardship, and ownership for the areas that he gives us. And there's the key. If we recognize that we can be responsible, but we are ultimately trusting the Lord and stewarding what he gives us, that shifted perspective will keep us from worry. But if we become so responsible that we get wrapped up in the pressures and the stresses of performance or of achievement or of what's coming next or of what has to happen, then we can be too consumed with worry. And so indeed, we should not worry, we should be happy. We should allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength. We should allow that worry to be put away. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so, if you are a highly responsible person, and you get worried a lot, begin to understand God gave you the sense of responsibility, but He wants to shift you to a greater trust in Him to accomplish that which you want to accomplish and to do what He's called you to do. We should not be worried as a part of that process. It will choke out the life that God gives and have the adverse effect. The second area is misplaced ambition. I believe God wants us to be ambitious, but not to our own selfish desires. God wants us to have goals. God wants us to look ahead for His purposes. You know, we sang the song earlier, but it reflects on that fact that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So ambition in and of itself is not a problem. The scripture in James says that it's selfish ambition which becomes the concern. So ambition, though, becomes translated to focus on wealth because we have an ambition to attain in the financial area. And so the focus on wealth may be present whether we do or do not have wealth in our own eyes. Sometimes we look at the scripture and we say, well, I don't have to worry about that one because I don't have any money. How much does that thought preoccupy your spiritual life, though? How much does the absence or the lack or the struggle occupy space in our head? It's renting space in our heart. And so we have to trust the Lord in these things, and we have to pursue Him. But again, it's because we may have ambition. Jesus said we cannot serve both God and money in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Paul did not say money is the root of all evil. I've heard that misquoted. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. And you can love something whether you got it or not. There are a lot of things that I can look at and say, oh, I love that. Do you have one? No, but man, I love that. Isn't that great? Look at that Ferrari. Oh, I love that. Love that sound. Love that look. Do you have one? No. So we can love something and not have it, and that becomes the problem, is our focus upon wealth, focus on what we want rather than what we don't have. And so understand that. Misplaced sense of enjoyment. God wants us to enjoy life. Can you say amen to that, please? And here's why. As Christians, so many times we become wrapped up in an error of truth that was present in the first century, and that's Gnosticism, which is this idea that the body and the spirit are separate. And so there were those that would try and separate the body from the spirit by beating on themselves and denying pleasure. Listen, God wants you to enjoy life a little bit. God wants you to enjoy this life. We're not to walk around. Who wants to be a believer if all the believers they see look like they've been sucking on lemons all day? I mean, really? Try that. Suck on a lemon for about an hour. Go to Walmart. See what happens. People look at you. But, or you can just post your picture on Twitter or Facebook. Anyway, little duck face comes from sucking on lemons. I don't know. That's bad theology. I'm going to move on. Misplaced sense of enjoyment leads to a focus on pleasures. We should enjoy life, but it doesn't mean that pleasures should consume us. Our wants must be disciplined under the call of God, under His purposes. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Do not let anyone, anything, rent space in your heart. That place belongs to Jesus. Not to be choked out by worry, by concerns about wealth, or by our wants and desires, but to trust Him. Luke chapter 8, let's look at here, verse 11 through 15. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those beside the word or the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they will not believe and be saved. Those on rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root, they believe for a while, and a time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But look at this next verse 15. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Several descriptors there. So the unhindered seeds of faith, seeds that are not limited, they're not snatched away, they're not misfocused, they're not unguarded, seeds that are unhindered. Their location is in good ground. What is this good ground? Jesus tells us what our heart should be like. We should hear the word of God. Do you know that you cannot take a seed of faith unless you are willing to hear the word of God? God must speak to us through His Word, through His message, through others, through His Spirit. And it must be held. We must hold on to the Word of God in an honest and a good heart. It is unhindered. What is its condition? Well, we should hold it fast. That's because the word of faith, when we hear it and hold on to it, will bring the produce or the fruitfulness. The word of faith heard and held bears that fruit, and it comes and it brings that fruitfulness into our lives. And so what we have is something that is a both an internal and an external part. Look at hold it fast. If we nurture and grow the word of faith, it will bring the internal evidence of faith. In other words, God will have internal evidence in our character, in who we are. It is the fruit of the Spirit that comes in. It is the maturity that we have. We begin to grow. The evidence of God's Word firmly planted in us is that we change. But the second part is that it produces. It's fruitful. The Word of God bears the external evidence of faith. It bears fruit. The evidence of the Word of God externally is that we offer up fruit. We do something. We are effective. We are fruitful for the kingdom. We do something that accomplishes His purposes. And so we are to persevere, hearing and holding on and repeating that and continuing, maintaining this honest and good heart. And so I have a question. I'm sorry, those are beans, not tomatoes. I told you I had a black thumb. Sorry about that. Ignore the tomato on the screen. Sounds like a B-flick horror movie. Ignore the tomato on the screen. Beans. You have to plant beans every year. I know that. Okay, I know enough to know that. You plant the beans every year. But grapes, you don't plant every year. Grapes are on a vine that keep on producing. They are not annuals. They are not seasonal. They are perennial. And the question that we have here is whether the seed that God puts in us is something that just has to keep putting in and keep putting in, or do we hold on to it in such a way that it continues to bear fruit year after year after year? If we allow God to work in this way, Luke 8:8 says, the seed fell into the soil, grew up, produced a crop 100 times as great. But Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so God gives us that. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to tear open the packet of seeds. That's step one if you're going to plant seeds. Open the packet. That make sense? Tear it open. How do we do that? We have to break open the word of God. Read and hear the word of God, but without a veil. Ephesians 1:18 to 23 says, I pray the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. Here are the seeds. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We should take that seed, open up the packet, hear with spiritual ears, see with spiritual eyes, receive what God has for us, and then bury that seed deep in our heart, to bury it in such a way that it's not unguarded, unrooted, unfocused, but rather it's unhindered. Because, again, Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Buried deep means that we are committed to God. Luke 10:27 says, he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with what? With all your heart. With all your soul, with all your strength, all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. But it starts with loving with all your heart. Church, my biggest concern is that we allow any of these areas to come and to affect us. But the one that I believe is the silent killer for the church today is apathy. Complacency. I love the Lord with a little bit of my heart. I go to church, I read the word when I feel like it, I love Jesus. I have the bumper sticker that says I do. I'm kind of 60% in on this thing, you know. That's the majority. I'm good. Unless we love the Lord with all of our hearts, not renting that space out to others, not renting that space out to allow other things to infiltrate, but with all of our heart, I want to challenge you with the challenge that Jesus gave to Peter. Do you love me? How would you answer the Lord? How would you answer him with that question? Buried deep in our heart, we must be careful of two things. We be careful of our conscience and our conversation. 1 Timothy 1:5 and 6 says, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussion. Church, we can get wrapped up in a lot of conversation, get focused on a lot of things. But we should let that seed grow and not allow those areas of conscience and those areas of conversation to affect it. And so finally, let it grow. Water it with worship, prayer, the word with faith. Keep facing the sun, keep looking at Jesus, and then get ready for a harvest. Those scriptures that are there, let it grow. Acts chapter 19, so the word of the Lord was growing mightily and prevailing is a scripture that comes as the church experienced incredible growth, incredible multiplication. And I believe that God wants that for us today as we worship Him, as we serve Him, as we seek Him. Keep facing the sun. 2 Corinthians 3:16 to 18 says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. You and I cannot survive without looking at Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him and focusing on Him, and then get ready for a harvest. Galatians 6, 7 to 10, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And so the love of God is poured into our life. Romans chapter 10, I want to close with this scripture, verses 8 to 13. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever. Say the word whoever. 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 Whoever believes in Him. You mean that jerk down the street is not without hope? You mean that loser I work with who's always cussing, he's not without hope? Here's the good news of the gospel. Whosoever will may come to the Lord. That there is the potential in God's kingdom to turn any soil into rich soil. I had the privilege of being in Minneapolis for 4 years, a little over, and then going south of there for about 3 years to Owatonna, about 45 minutes south of that, and it was a farming community. And let me tell you, the soil there is black. It is rich. It grows anything you put in it. You can sneeze, it'll grow another human. It's just amazing. It's a little bit of a stretch, maybe. But it's this rich, black soil. And then I've also seen soil where nothing grows. Where it's just barren and it's hopeless and it's just a mess. And you go, I can't even grow anything here. Let me tell you, we tend to categorize people in that way. We look at them with human eyes. But God has a way of taking the heart and turning it into rich, ready soil. That happens through prayer. If you know someone that needs to receive the word of the Lord, you begin to pray for them. You begin to pray that God will turn their heart into a receptive soil for the seeds of faith that God wants to plant. You begin to pray that God will take away that dryness and that hardness and begin to open up to what God has. There is no one who is outside of the potential to be fully committed and loving and serving Jesus. No one. And so if we believe that, if we stand on that, we have to say, Lord, help me to see that out there is a whole world of people in various heart conditions, but through prayer, through faith, and through allowing God to speak through me, that seed can be planted. But before we go out there, we have to ask, how's your soil? How's my soil? How does it look inside of our heart? And so as the worship team comes, I want to ask you to stand, if you would, please, and just to take a moment and consider those areas that we've talked about. Take a moment to consider the question of, what is our condition? Has man trampled the seed of faith? Or has the enemy stolen faith from your heart? Think about that. Boots and birds, we allow a lot of things to crush the word of faith in our spirit. And if we're not careful, those things can bring destruction. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen? Amen. Secondly, do you have a backflow preventer problem? Is your backflow preventer not working? To be blunt, sometimes God gives you a good word and you pollute it with all the junk that's in your heart. That anger, that bitterness, that malice, that worry, the discontent, all those things that come in there. It's time to turn that heart over to Jesus and say, as David said, Lord, search me, O God, and see if there be in me any wicked way. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. This morning is your opportunity to do that. This morning is your opportunity to say, Lord, I don't want anything in me that will corrupt the seed of faith that you've given. I don't want anything in me that will bring that destruction into my life. Do you allow worry, wealth, and wants to rent space in your heart? I want you to just bow your head and close your eyes and picture your heart as not just the physical human heart, but that place in your soul. I want to ask, is there a sign that's sitting out front? Space available for rent? Do you allow worry to come in, take up residence? You know, in California, there's a woman that people invited into their home, and she stayed with them for a while, didn't pay any rent, and after she was there for a while, they tried to kick her out, and said, nope, under California law, she's a squatter. She's not allowed to leave. The homeowners couldn't kick the woman out. She was just living there. She wasn't doing her job. She wasn't doing anything. She was eating their food, destroying their place, messing up the house. She was a squatter. I'm telling you this morning, church, we've got some squatters in our life. And I don't mean people, I mean things that we allow into our heart that just sit there year after year after year. And we come to a service like this and God wants to deal with it. And that squatter crosses its arms and says, nope, I'm not going anywhere. You got to deal with me. And so we feel good. We walk out of here and then tomorrow morning we're worrying again. Tomorrow morning we're concerned about wealth. Tomorrow morning we're concerned about the things that we want and what we want to do. And it's all about us. It's time to kick the squatter out. It's time to say, Jesus, only you have that place in my heart. Those thorns that can come in and choke us out, that can cause that destruction that is there. Worry and wealth and wants. Or do we hold on and say, we're going to persevere and grow and bear fruit? This morning I want you to say, Jesus, come into my heart in a fresh way. Maybe you've never said that. Maybe you've never prayed, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come into my heart. Come and dwell with me. Forgive me of sin. Be the Lord of my life. If that's you and you'd like to do that this morning and pray that prayer for the first time and just say, I want to receive Jesus into my life. I've not been serving him. I've not been following him. Would you take a bold step? Not a complacency, but just a bold step. Step out from where you are and come up to the front right here. We want to pray with you. We want to allow God to speak to you. So just step out from wherever you are. If you say, I need to follow Jesus, he's the one that needs to live in my heart. Church, I believe the Lord has a word of faith for us today. God has a word of faith for you. He has a word of faith for me. God wants to give you a hope and a future and a promise. But let me ask you a question. Why would God waste that seed of faith if it's going to fall on soil that is not ready? So we pray, Lord, give me something. I need to hear from you. I need a word from you, God. And God's saying, get your soil ready. Because I can give it to you today, but it'll be gone tomorrow. And so today is about preparing the soil. Today is about preparing our heart. Today is about saying, Lord, just make my heart open to all that you want to do. Make my heart available to you. Lord, I've let people trample over my faith. I've let the enemy steal my faith. I've let worry and concerns over wealth and concerns over my wants, crush it. I've allowed that faith to just be broken up. I've allowed faith to be diminished because I don't have a deep well. Give me a deep well this morning. Just take that moment with the Lord if you would, please. If you want to come to the altars are open. If you want to just spend some time with him, spend a few moments saying, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I believe the Lord is prepared to speak to us in profound ways in the near future. I believe he wants to speak to Kingsway with a fresh word and a fresh anointing. But he's asking every one of us the question today, are you really ready to receive that? Are you really ready for the word that I'm giving you? Let me tell you what comes when we receive it. God's word begins to take root. It begins to grow. And it begins to bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I don't know about you, but I can use some more love, joy, and peace every day. I don't know about you, but showing love, joy, and peace to the world around us sounds like a really good idea. Patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. forming in us who God wants us to be, but allowing that love and that joy and that peace to be manifest. And so, Lord, we come to you right now and we pray that our hearts will be open to you, that our hearts will receive what you have provided for us, and that our hearts will willingly take the seed of faith and hold on to it. For some of us this morning, Lord, that seed of faith is simply knowing that Jesus Christ came to give us life. And with the heart we believe, with the mouth we confess, and we are given life and salvation in Jesus' name. Lord, to we who have received that word, we also know that you give us other words, that you speak to us with a word that's for right now, a word that's in the moment, a word that leaps from us as we read your word, and that particular phrase, that particular passage jumps out at us, and we say, Lord, may I receive that in my heart and hold on to it, because I need that today. Lord, we come to a service, and whether it's one phrase of a song that's sung, maybe it's a word that you divinely bring us through a message that you bring through your children as they speak. Maybe it's a message from your word as we look at that. Lord, whatever it is, that one piece jumps out, and we say, Lord, I need to hold on to that. But Lord, we don't want it to fall on soil that is by the road and trampled and snatched. We don't want it to fall on rocky soil where the heat of the sun comes and it's withered because there's no root, because we're not tapped into the reservoir in our heart where out of us flows a river of living water because we have a faith that abides in Jesus. And we don't want, Lord, for this seed to be choked out by the thorns of worry, of wealth, of our wants. And Lord, as much as we look at that and we say, well, there are a lot of things that we're saying we don't want today, these are your words, this is your parable, it's your interpretation of it that we've looked at. But then you end it with this promise that if we will take that seed and it will be firmly planted, it will be held, received and held in good and honest soil, that if we will persevere, there will be a firm root that is established and there will be fruit that grows. And we will multiply. We will multiply over and over again what God has given to us. So, Lord, I pray that today we would receive it. And we would say, Lord, have your way in our lives. Just take a moment, if you would, please. Just say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a willing spirit in me.